The recent bombings in Boston set off millions of conversations on hundreds of different related subjects: national security, immigration, and religion, to name only three. Appropriately, media are filled with reports on every phase of national security, right down to the most minute of details. Some members of Congress are using tragedy in Boston to revisit their opposition to immigration reform. In fact, one member of Congress has declared that we should no longer allow Muslims to immigrate to the United States, really. For the most part, immediately following the explosions, media were responsibly silent on religion's role, if any, in the whole horrendous situation. With only a few exceptions, there was no rush to judgment about the religion of the bombers or religion as the motivation of the bombers. That represented great progress in moving away from brash stereotyping and fiery religion bashing, especially as related to Islam. Now, though, religion is front and center as an integral part of the analysis of what happened in Boston and why. News stories bulge with comments about the role of the radicalization of Islam in the Boston story. Though for years many people have unfairly criticized moderate Muslims for not being more vocal about their opposition to terrorist attacks, now the condemnatory words of moderate Muslims are actually being carried in media, and incredibly, some people, some of the same people who were critical before, are now criticizing the criticism voiced by Muslim leaders. Earlier this past week, CNN reported that Yusufi Vali, executive director of the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center, said of the Sarna of Brothers, "I don't care who or what these criminals claim to be, but I can never recognize these criminals as part of my city or my community of faith." Similarly, according to a piece from the Huffington Post, Imam Talal Eid of the Islamic Institute of Boston declared, "I would not be willing to do a funeral for him," speaking of the older brother who was shot. "This is a person who deliberately killed people. There's no room for him as a Muslim. He already left the fold of Islam by doing that." Critics of these comments think the religious leaders should continue to embrace the Sarna F. brothers, though condemn their acts. Interesting. Of course, the public never has condemned Christianity for the existence and mean behavior of the Ku Klux Klan. Jews have not separated themselves from Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel, who claimed a devotion to Judaism. So I find the question interesting: who gets to identify a person's religion? Who has the authority to take another person's religious identity away? Is religious identity the prerogative of every individual? Perhaps, though, equally important is the question, I hear some of you asking it already, what does it matter anyway? Well, my guess is that the Muslims that I have quoted have mixed motives for their understandable comments meant to disassociate the actions of the two brothers from Islam. In previous times of tragedy and crisis with Muslim involvement, negative repercussions directed at Muslims have broadened and intensified the tragedy. After the horrors of the Boston bombing, how possibly could a Muslim not fear misdirected violence perpetrated by non-discriminating people who assume all Muslims are like one or two Muslims? Yes, such logic used would mean that all Christians would be vulnerable to retaliation from people who feel any one Christian represents all Christians. And great goodness, were that the case, Christians still would be experiencing punishment for the actions of the Christians in the deadly crusades of the past. But of course, the condemnation of the bombers by Yousufi Valley and Talal Eid may go well beyond a defense mechanism, an effort to make people distinguish between the evil actions of two Muslim young men and the basic teachings of Islam. The Muslim leaders well may want to claim this teachable moment and again seek to teach Americans that Islam is a peace-loving, life-respecting religion. Well, why wouldn't all Muslims want to do that? They have every right to distinguish themselves and their religion from those who would make Islam synonymous with terrorism, so good for them. But I'm still intrigued by who gets to determine one's religious identity. Now, let's be honest here. All of us know that in all religions there are extremists who turn religion into a weapon and harm other people in the name of religion. At the same time, I don't know one world religion that is for terrorism, murder, and destruction. Not one. So maybe the conversation now underway about who is a Muslim ought to broaden its scope with an admission that in all religions there are those who will contradict religious values with acts of evil dressed up as a religious cause. Here is reality. Each of us can call ourselves whatever we want, but the ultimate judgment about our identity will be decided not by what we say about ourselves, but how we treat others. We know that good deeds come from individuals who identify themselves as non-believers or atheists, and that despicable acts of hurt are perpetrated by people who claim to be devoutly religious individuals. In the long run, what is best is to know that regardless of the label we hang around our necks or imagine posted on our foreheads is not nearly so definitive as the way we live our lives. We have too much work to do, friends, to take time to pass judgment on another person. Let's start staying busy. Busy to be the people who are shaping more secure communities by our ceaseless involvement in random but pervasive acts of doing good.